Mike Vrabel says there are no moral victories for the Tennessee Titans. And I think we can all agree that that is probably the right approach. But I think we can also all agree that the Tennessee Titans did some things particularly well Sunday night in their 2017 loss, overtime loss, we should say, to the Kansas City Chiefs. At least I think we all agree. We will find out in this episode of Believe in Titans podcast as we talk about Sunday's game and the upcoming matchup with the Denver Broncos. It's a Titans stay in the AFC West for a week with John Glennon from alltitansatsi.com. John, welcome in.
Thanks. Good to be with you guys.
All right. And Denard Walker, former Titans cornerback. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I do believe in more victories for you, David.
All right. Well, then we will talk about that. And I am David Beauclair, also of alltitansatsi.com. You can find John and my work at si.com/NFL/Titans. And once again, this is the Believe in Titans podcast, which is brought to you by Bet Online. Basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. It's always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts. So, Denard, let's start with you. What in particular do you feel good about coming out of that performance? Obviously, a spectacular night for the defense in some ways, although being on the field for 91 plays had to be particularly grueling and exhausting. But to only give up 20 points, that's got to be good enough to win most nights, yes?
Well, yes. I mean, let's just go back to their previous game. You go to the Houston game, they gave up, 10 points, Indy 10 points, 17 points to Washington, the Colts 17 points, and the Raiders 22 points. David, if you would have told me that Tennessee was going to go into Arrowhead Stadium, one of the hardest places to play, and without your starting quarterback, and a little bit over 3 minutes left, Kansas City would have 9 points and you have 17 and a chance to win the game without your starting quarterback, David, I probably would say to you, you crazy. And what happened? That was the case. Unfortunately, there's a $500 million quarterback in Kansas City that made a play when it counted on third down. And that's what allowed that Kansas City Chiefs to get back into the game. But I tell you what, it was an absolutely pleasure watching how Tennessee battled and how they dominated that game up to about 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, John, I'll ask you, are you more impressed by the fact that the Titans were ahead for the majority of the second half, up by as many as 8 points, or is it a bad thing that they couldn't hold that lead even against a guy like Patrick Mahomes?
You know, I think you have to be impressed, really, by this defense. You know, to me, that was kind of one of the significant questions coming in was, you know, as well as the Titans defense had played in recent games, were they really up to a challenge against a team like the Chiefs? You know, number one offense, averaging 32 points, most TD passes. You know, you go on and on and on about how well that Chiefs offense was playing. And I think the Titans defense really proved something. To us and maybe a little to themselves as well, that, you know, this defense is, you know, elite, in that it can contend with some of the top offenses, the top offense, in the league. On the other side of the coin, of course, you wonder if just a little bit more offensive production, just a little bit more scoring, just maybe even a little bit time of possession. Does that end up making the difference in this game? And maybe if Ryan Tannehill was starting quarterback, maybe that is the deal. Maybe that would have been enough to seal a win there. You find yourself wondering, what if this team just had a little bit more, again, just a little bit more offense, to go with this great defense that played Kansas City so well.
I come out of the game feeling as good about this team as I have all season, and particularly for the defense. And I hate to make this comparison because of all that bunch accomplished and everybody who was on that defense, particularly Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, but I'm sort of a mind of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens and the way they won games, and I hate to bring that up with Denard here, but keep in mind that was a team that was searching sort of early in the year. At one point, they lost three in a row, and they were 5-4, but really found their footing, really found their identity, got on a roll, made the playoffs as a wild card team, had to go on the road 3 weeks in a row, but ended up winning the Super Bowl with a defense that was clearly, this was not an equal division of labor on that team. The defense was asked to carry the load dramatically all the way through, but you look at the offense. They had Jamal Lewis, a power running back then. The Titans, of course, have Derrick Henry right now. At quarterback, the Ravens struggled early in the year with Tony Banks. They made a change to Trent Dilfer, who no one's ever going to confuse Trent Dilfer with Peyton Manning, but he provided stability and just enough for that offense to get going. The Titans offense, of course, they're going to get Ryan Tannehill back at some point. They're going to get Treylon Burks back. They're going to get Kyle Phillips back. This offense will be better than it's been the last couple weeks. And if this defense can sort of maintain the mindset that it has right now, I feel like that offense can be good enough most nights now, or most days now, to win games if this defense can keep playing like that. Denard, I guess I'll ask you, is this defense now sort of locked into this identity, or do you see it still creating an identity as we go here?
Well, I hope you're still creating an identity, because this is still what you're in the middle part of the season now. And what you don't
Halfway.
want to, you have the halfway point. But David, listen, when I looked at this game, and we talked about that earlier, I said that Tennessee defense matches up well against Kansas City offense. My only problem and issue that I had was offense, especially when you don't have your star quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. But look at this, David. When I was looking at the defense, with the ranked 10th in the NFL, right?
Correct. In scoring,
Correct.
yes.
And okay, so forget about, remember when I was talking about, and I think about this, forget about the 446 yards passing about Patrick Mahomes. They had eight quarterback hits. They sacked Patrick Mahomes four times. They held KC, what, 42% on third down? KC is the number one team converting on third down. And not to mention, in the last five games, they've only given up 266 rushing yards. David, that is dominating. You know how hard that is to do in the National Football League? And not to mention, I mean, they're still without some of their best players. Amani Hooker, he's been out. And they're doing it with guys like Terrence Mitchell, Joshua Kalu, Lonnie Johnson, who should have had a pick in the fourth quarter. Man, he let the ball go right through his hands. He reminded me of Denard Walker. You're talking about Josh Thompson. I mean, this team right now in the secondary. You remember, David and John, I said this is a copycat league. And I
Right.
said, right. And I alluded to the fact, if you look at Todd Bowles in 2020, when he was a defensive coordinator with Tampa, he's now the head coach with Tampa Bay. The first time that they played the Chiefs in the regular season, the Chiefs spanked them on their first two series. They scored explosive plays. Patrick Mahomes hit your boy Cheetah. And when the Cheetah, Todd Bowles said, you know what? I figured out this team. Let Patrick Mahomes rack up a whole lot of yards, but don't let him top the defense. And that's exactly what Tennessee did Sunday. They didn't allow no explosive plays. I mean, yeah, they had the 33-yard completion on Christian, but that was great coverage. That was all Mahomes. You know, that was just a great throw. Hey, you got to give credit to my man. He made a great play. And again, this defense was dominant. That was Justin Watson. That was a third. And tell you what, it was just that the way that Patrick Mahomes threw the ball is why that young man was able to catch the football. But other than that, Tennessee dominated this offense.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City didn't even really try to run the ball most of the game. I mean, they came out, they threw on their first six snaps, I think it was, made clear what their intentions were. You know, Tennessee's intention for the second straight week was with Malik Willis at quarterback was to rely very heavily on Derrick Henry in the run game, and a little bit of a dubious achievement, if you will, for the Titans pass game, in that none of the wide receivers in uniform that night, and there were only four of them again for the second straight week: Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Cody Hollister, and Chris Conley. All of them were targeted at least once. None of them came up with a catch. John Glennon, how bad a performance was it, or was it just a lack of opportunity?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of both. Certainly the Titans were going to throw it even less than this team normally does, and this team normally doesn't throw it much in the first place. But with a guy, Malik Willis, making his second start in a hostile environment, there's only going to be so many opportunities out there. That said, they needed to do better. When Chris Conley gets a chance to haul in a pass, a deep pass from Malik Willis that he dropped in a bucket, down the right sideline, Chris Conley needs to catch that pass. When Nick Westbrook-Ikhina goes up for a contested catch, and can't come down with it, that needs to happen sometimes. Now, you're not going to win every one, but some of the times you're going to need to come down with balls that are well thrown. And as I wrote and is up on our site now, the more kind of games we see like this with, not necessarily zero catches, we hadn't seen that before, but the wide receiver production has just been so lacking, more and more, you just can't help but continually go back and scratch your head and go, boy, if this Titans team just had at least one really good wide receiver, where would they be? And of course, that really good wide receiver is racking up, incredible numbers right now in Philadelphia. And we all know that there were reasons, for this trade, legitimate reasons. But at the same time, as you look at this Titans team right now, you're looking at a team with, as we've just talked about, a really good defense, a really good running game. And you wonder, boy, what would they be like if they had just maybe at least one significant passing threat? And it's just not there right now.
Yeah, it's only the fourth time in the last 20 years that an NFL team has finished a game and its wide receivers had no receptions. But Denard, I'll let you talk about sort of the good in the passing game and what you liked. Number one, on Chigo Conquo, the first offensive snap in the game, where it seemed like he broke tackles by about half the Kansas City defense. And even more, I want to hear your take on the throw to Austin Hooper, where Malik Willis threw it sort of away from the defender and they got a big gain out of that. Just how good a throw was that? How important were those two plays by those tight ends there?
Yeah, David, what was strange was you just talked about the leading receiver in the ball game Sunday was the rookie Chigo Conquo, one catch for 48 yards. And David, I'm going to just kind of give you a little a background illustration about the Tennessee receiving core through eight games this year. And we talked about coming into this season, will this unit step up? And we didn't want to talk about AJ, but I did a comparison, David, and it was talking about 2022 receiving. The Titans this year, you're talking about Robert Woods, Cody Hollister, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. They have 51 catches amongst the three of those players. I mean, I'm talking about the whole unit, right? 51 catches. AJ Brown has 43 catches, but in eight games. You're talking about the yards. The Titans have 658 yards receiving. How much? A.J. Brown has 718 yards. You look about the TDs, one touchdown reception. AJ Brown has six. That's the fewest in the NFL. And I'm like, okay, wow. Could you imagine if Tennessee scored maybe 3 points in the fourth quarter? They didn't score not 1 point in the fourth quarter. And you go through, this is eight games this season. The Titans have scored a total of 9 points. And that's when you win a ball game. And it wasn't there Sunday. I thought that was the Achilles heel. But what I did like was that beautiful ran like a little direction. He faked it to it. And then what was so beautiful about it, he threw it off his back leg. That's not only athleticism, that is strength. We talked about how he was so strong. I mean, he threw some beautiful passes. I love what John said with Chris. Chris has to come down with that. It was right in his hands. It's the same thing with Nick Westbrook Ikhine. He could have caught that ball. We talk about doing the little things. Robert Griffin Jr., he was talking about when you have a young quarterback, he says it's an acronym called HYHO. It's called help your homeboy out. When you got a young player like that, you got to make those plays because guess what? That gives him confidence. And I love Todd Downing play call because he put Malik in position to succeed. You saw a lot of the zone reads. I mean, Kansas City, you talking about the first score when they did the Wildcat and Malik motions out. Most times when a quarterback motions out, the defense is not even worried about the quarterback. If that was Tom Brady running out there, you know what Greg Williams would have told us? Just let him go. He's not going to catch you. He's not going to hurt you. But the fact that they flanked him out, it kind of spooked Kansas City, and they kind of softened up, and Derek just ran right up the middle. So that's respect. That's respect, and that's what I loved about this young man. He played better as the game continued to go, and I would just marvel at his just patience. He doesn't get rattled.
Yeah, that throw to Conley was every bit as good as the throw you referenced that Mahomes made to Watson. I mean, it was a big time, big league NFL throw that you know, if Chris Conley makes that catch, this could be it could have been a whole different ball game. As it turned out, you know, the Titans with 23 yards and one first down after halftime. You know, Malik Willis looked a little unsure of things in overtime there, getting sacked again and again after the first down run. They do need to find a way to solve this fourth quarter, this second half issue that they're, you know, it has been an issue all year. And to your point, Denard, like how many games in the NFL are one score games and come down to the fourth quarter? How many games have the Titans won in which Ryan Tannehill has directed a game winning drive in the fourth quarter this year? You can almost argue it's a miracle that this team is 5-3, being as bad as it's been in the fourth quarter in terms of putting points on the board. But you know, we've got to look a little closer at Malik Willis and what he did. You know, we saw during the preseason he was a guy who seemed to learn his lessons and get better week to week. And I feel like he was, you know, we're seeing the same thing now in the regular season, that he was better in this game than he was in the Houston game. John, do you agree with that? What in particular did you like from him? What do you still need to see from him?
Yeah, I do think there were some signs of progress. We talked about some of those, the nice passes that he had. One that I'm not sure we mentioned also was that back shoulder to Austin Hooper early in the game that, you know, I think that was on the way to another a Titans touchdown as well. And the one where he got outside the rush and threw to Hooper on the right sideline, you know, there were definitely some throws there, I thought, you know, where you kind of, you know, found yourself saying, oh, yeah, this is what they like about him. This is what everybody was talking about. So those are clearly steps in the right direction. I think another step in the right direction. Now, we talked to Ben Jones on a conference call today, and he talked about how Malik was much better in terms of getting everything set at the line, you know, getting everyone in place. And that's obviously Arrowhead Stadium. It's one of the more difficult places to do that kind of thing because it's so loud and so challenging there. I thought Malik also made some of better decisions in his RPOs. You know, he kept the ball a few times, rattled off some big runs there. So I think he made some good steps forward. I do think in terms of what we still need to see. I think the pressure still rattles him when he's under pressure. I think the decision process can be a little shaky at times. He's only dropped back, maybe 35 or 36 times, I think, in two games, and he's been sacked six times. It's a really high rate, and you can't blame it all, obviously, on the quarterback. But it's got to be better there. He's got to learn to throw away some passes from time to time, and sort of along those same lines, the hesitation is still there. I think is number of times to throw about 6 seconds. That was still second highest in the league over the weekend. I think Lamar was the only one that was higher. I still think he needs to bring that down just a little bit in order to be successful on a regular basis. But certainly, to me, the positives, the steps forward far outweighed the negatives in week two for me for Malik Willis.
Yeah, you talk about getting rattled by the rush. It's interesting because he's not a guy who's looking at the rush.
Right.
You see that with young guys. Like, he's keeping his eyes downfield. He's thinking about, I need to get the ball out of my hand. I need to get it down. But it seems like he is aware of the rush, and he almost feels it, and I don't know if that's a Malik Willis thing, if that's a young quarterback thing, but it seems like he knows it's coming, and he almost braces for it for half a second rather than just continuing to do what he's trying to do to get the ball downfield. But the one thing I do like too, though, is his sort of his maturity that when he does sort of elude the rush and he takes another look, if it's not there, he's willing to just throw the ball out of bounds and live to fight another day, so to speak. I know that's a thing that a lot of quarterbacks sort of have to learn, sort of have to teach themselves along the way, and he seems to have that. I think that's really impressive from him right now. Denard, you talked about the Chiefs respecting the fact that when he flanked out in the
Wildcat.
Wildcat, and John mentioned some of the RPO stuff. I think he rushed for 40 yards in this game. Talk about it as a defense, how different it is defending that RPO stuff versus when Ryan Tannehill's in there. And Tannehill's no, he's no statue back there. He can move a little bit, but it's a different ball game when Malik Willis is the guy with the ball in his hands to start those, right?
Dave, I'm going to go back old school style because I was around. We played Baltimore. This was in 2000, and that's when they really started. It was Brian Billick started implementing the Wildcat. Baltimore started doing it. They had a who was that? The little receiver, Lewis, little bitty guy, and they put him back there. He was a speedster. So they would motion out. They had Tony Banks the first time we played him. So he motions out. We knew that Tony Banks was like a decoy. So we played like, you know what? If Tony Banks is on the side, you know what we're going to do? Just knock him out of the game. Just go hit him and just take him out. And we did that because we knew that they're not going to run a pass with Tony Banks. He couldn't catch. And the backup quarterback at the time was Trent Dilfer. He's definitely not going to beat you because he'd probably run the 40 about a 6'8". But when you play a team that you know they have like an athletic quarterback, if that was Michael Vick, it's kind of like, uh-oh, I better get out here and cover. And so that kind of weakens up if you're in the middle of the defense, they could throw a pass out there. I mean, because we know about his athleticism. I mean, let's go back to Liberty. What was it? 74 combined passing and rushing touchdowns. So you have to respect that. And again, I mean, he's just a phenomenal athlete. You always have to account when he's on the field. David, you talked about the first game that Lamar Jackson played in Tennessee, and you was talking about the packages that they was using him. And you were like, man, this kid is going to be electrifying. He's going to be a great player when he gets his chance to be a starting quarterback. You see those same similarities with Malik.
Yeah, you do. And I think I certainly came out of the preseason thinking, all right, the franchise's plan is for Malik Willis to be the starting quarterback in 2023. And in a way, I felt like that was a little bit ambitious at the time. I am not feeling as much that way right now. And these we talked about it last week. These game experiences are speeding that learning curve for him. And even though we haven't seen him really cut it loose and do much in the passing game yet, I mean, think about that. We're all sitting here talking about how we're excited. You like this, you like that. And he's still not even doing really much of the primary job of the quarterback, which is to drop back and throw the ball around. So I think there's, there's a lot to be excited about there. But John, you talked about this earlier in this episode. This game Sunday was in stark contrast to what we saw week two at Buffalo, which was a 41-7 defeat. And at the start of Sunday's game, Buffalo was number one in the AFC, Titans were number two, the Chiefs were number three. So how convinced are you now that the Titans are a legitimate threat in the postseason to do some damage and be a problem based on this game as opposed to week two?
Tell you what, I mean, I'm more confident that the Titans are going to be a tough out than certainly after the Buffalo game. I think, as I say, maybe the Titans had a little bit of something to prove to themselves even in this game that, okay, sure, we have this 5-game winning streak, but have we really beaten a good team? Have we really gone toe to toe with a good team? Well, Kansas City is as good as it gets. I think right now, certainly in the AFC, it's Buffalo and Kansas City, and the NFC it's Philadelphia, who the Titans face in a few weeks. And I think what the Titans did, certainly has to go a long way in saying, we can go toe to toe with these guys. Now, my question now is, how many times, if you see those kind of stats, replicated again in a game, whether that's Kansas City or Buffalo, if it's the Titans are outgained 500 to 230, third down situations, 1 for 11 for the Titans, Chiefs 8 for 19, time of possession 42 to 26, if those kind of numbers are replicated, again, I think it would be difficult to assume that the Titans are going to win those kind of games. So we're going to have to see at some point, as I said earlier, it doesn't have to be a huge jump by this Titans offense. I don't think they have to score 30 points a game even, but you're going to have to be able to put up at least, 20, 25 and still rely on this kind of defense in order to win these games regularly. Can you maybe beat a Buffalo or a Kansas City in a game like Sunday? Sure, it's possible. The Titans just showed us it was possible. They led late in the fourth quarter, and it was only overtime they lost. But I don't think you can rely on that exact formula, too often. I think at some point, and of course, the assumption is when Ryan Tannehill comes back, things will change. There has to be a little bit more production on that front.
Denard, let me ask you this. If let's say for the sake of argument that Ryan Tannehill's ankle is really bad, he misses another week or two. How are defenses gonna approach the Titans now? Is it man to man all the time and commit as many guys as you can to stopping Derrick Henry, or do you drop guys into coverage and dare Malik Willis to sort it out? Because man to man, the one thing is guys' backs are turned. If he gets out of the pocket, he can make a big gain with his feet that way. What should the Titans be expecting if Malik has another game or two to go here?
So are you asking me, do I put myself, like I'm putting myself as a defensive
Yeah, if you're a
coordinator?
defensive
If I'm a
coordinator, yes.
defensive coordinator and I'm preparing for Tennessee, the first thing that I'm doing is I'm stopping number 22, the King. Now, when I look at Malik and I'm saying, how do I game plan a rookie quarterback, a first year quarterback that has took a huge jump from week one to week two? I mean, John, you said it. Look at the passes he threw Sunday. They were on target. Unfortunately, the receivers didn't make the plays. Like Robert Griffin said, HYHO, help your homeboy out. You got to do the little things. So that tells you, that's telling all of us this, is that, you know what? He's getting better in the passing game. So if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm saying, you know what? I got to play him just like I'm playing Ryan Tannehill, because he showed Sunday by his arm, if the receivers can come down with those catches, he can beat you in the air. And then when you look at the running game, he adds another dimension. Zone reads, those are hard, especially if you're a defense and you have an athletic, mobile quarterback. It's tough when they run in those zone reads because guess what? A lot of teams say, well, if they got Derrick Henry, yeah, normally you're going to crash down just like Kansas City did Sunday. You're going to crash on 2-2, and then he takes it back. And he goes for about 15 or 20 yards. That's demoralizing to a defense. So I have to respect the young man's athleticism because he is, to me, another version of Lamar Jackson, just younger. And he's a lot like Ron, very dangerous with his feet. Ron doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Those plays, running those zone. You see Ron a lot of times, those zone reads you're talking about. A lot of times he'll do what of that kind of fake a ball to Derek and run, you know, another, opposite side of the ball. I mean, he's just he adds another dimension to this offense.
And we should say with Derrick Henry too, now 5 straight 100 yard games, ties the longest stretch of his career, and he is the NFL's leading rusher. Finally, he was, you know, he was outside the top 10 earlier in the year, but now 870 yards, 29 yards ahead of Cleveland's Nick Chubb. He's average per carry is up to 4.8. He's doing a lot of Derrick Henry things, even though defenses know he is coming, which you know, it's hard to be any more impressed with Derrick Henry than we all were during 2019 and 2020, but in a way he is impressing us all over again, I think. And what's really interesting to me too is, you know, looking ahead now, I mentioned it's the Denver Broncos are coming to Nissan Stadium on Sunday. When the schedule came out, I know we talked about this, and this was the stretch we looked at where you say, okay, in a row, you have Kansas City, Denver, Green Bay, Cincinnati, and then Philadelphia after that. Philadelphia was an oddity because of the aforementioned A.J. Brown was going to be there. I mean, that looks like a really big challenge right now. But this stretch of Kansas City, Denver, Green Bay, Cincinnati was one we thought was a real make-or-break stretch, a real proving ground, if you will. And now that we're here, you know, Denver's coming to town with – and, yes, Russell Wilson is their quarterback, but things have not worked out there the way anybody anticipated. And they're not as scary as you thought. Green Bay looks to be a mess right now. And Cincinnati is sort of great one week, not so great the next. They're not going to have Ja'Marr Chase for that game because he'll still be out at that point. Suddenly, this stretch doesn't look nearly as intimidating. And again, based on what we've seen from this defense, you know, it feels like this is instead of a you know, trying to just survive this stretch, this feels like an opportunity for this team to make its move and really solidify itself at the top of the division and start thinking in terms of playoff tiebreakers and playoff seeding and all that. John Glennon, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, going into the season, I think a lot of us probably thought the AFC West was just going to be a bear of a division this year, you know, maybe just head and shoulders above most other divisions. And of course the Titans are lining up against the AFC West this year, and it just hasn't turned out to be the case so far. You know, Russell Wilson and Denver hasn't been the match to date that everyone thought they would be. You know, the Raiders, you know, are not as good as we thought. The Chargers are kind of up and down. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, really the Titans are looking at a brutal schedule the way we had before. You know, and I think also what's interesting to me, too, is that, you know, I think a lot of us started wondering, like, okay, at some point defenses, you know, the defenses are going to get stiffer. You know, they're going to figure out how to stuff Derrick Henry. But I keep kind of scratching my head wondering when that's going to happen right now. I mean, like, you know, they went up against a Colts run defense way back near the start of the year. They were supposed to be, what, number 2 or 3, I think, against the run at that point. Derrick Henry blew through that. You know, the Chiefs run defense was supposed to be very stout. You know, this past weekend, Derrick Henry blew through that on limited carries. And as I look ahead, even though the defenses theoretically are getting pretty difficult in terms of Denver and Philly and some of those other defenses, you look at their run defenses and they're not all that good. Those team most of these teams are in the 20s against the run. So you find yourself wondering, hey, if the Titans and Derrick Henry can run on some of these teams they've shown so far, why can't they keep that up for the rest of the year? And again, I just don't think there are as many great teams in the NFL as we may have thought coming into the year. When you look at the playoff picture as it stands right now, who are the Titans taking on in the first round? The Jets. Okay, is anybody really scared of the Jets right now? I think that's it's not nearly as imposing regular season or potential playoff as we might have thought.
So, Denard, as we come to the end here, I'll ask you this: is there anything that teams can do about Derrick Henry, or do they just have to,
Take it.
take their beating, so to speak?
Well, hopefully it's just take their beating, and accept it, but that's not the way it works. From my perspective, just take your beating, but that's not the mentality of any team in the league. And David and John, I've always been taught one, I was always taught one thing about Greg Williams. He said, the most important game is your next game. And what you don't do is overlook your opponent. I know we're looking at Denver. I mean, look, they just traded one of their best defensive players with Bradley Chubb. He's out. He went to, what was it, Miami?
Miami, yeah.
Miami. So, and then not to mention, there's rumors that Coach Hackett might be out of the door next. It's like they're making a lot of changes. But remember, there's no disparity. And what you don't want to do is to take a game lightly, because if you do that, guess what? You end up getting beat, and you hate to lose a game that you know that you're better than this team. Now, Tennessee's a lot better than Denver. So again, you want to make sure that you take on that mentality Sunday, that this is the most important game of the season, because this can decide a lot of times if you start going down or if you continue to progress forward.
We will all watch to see what happens in that one, and we will be back to discuss it next week. Until then, thank you all for listening and downloading and telling your friends about it. For Denard Walker, for John Glennon, I am David Beauclair, and this is the Believe in Titans podcast brought to you by Bet Online. Thank you again.